You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The Jazz Age and the Great Depression gave us many of our most beloved and iconic writers, people like Dorothy Parker, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and Ernest Hemingway. Although Nathaniel West and Eileen McKenney were well-known members of that crowd, they've been somewhat forgotten since. Marion Mead reminds us of the roles this influential literary couple played in her new book called Lonely Hearts, The Screwball World of Nathaniel West and Eileen McKenney, which is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. I'm very pleased that it brings her back to our show today. Hi.
Hi.
And you were on their show 20 years ago, is that
That's right,
you?
For Dorothy Parker.
How many biographies have you written since?
Oh, about four or five, I think.
And did Nathaniel West and Eileen McKenney come up because you were writing about people who'd been in their crowd?
It came up because when I was interviewing people for Parker in the early 80s, I went to interview a playwright who had known Parker, was hoping for some anecdotes. All he wanted to talk about was Nathaniel West, who he had known and collaborated with. And so I thought, this guy is really a madman. He is worthy of a biography. But I had read his work, you know, but I didn't know anything about him.
Well, how famous were Nathaniel West and Eileen McKenney during their lifetimes? As famous as their prominent friends?
He was not very famous at all. He published four books when he died in 1940. Two of them were, like, hardly anyone read. And the person who was famous was Eileen McKenney.
But wait, Nathaniel West wrote two novels that have been made into movies and are considered American classics, Miss Lonely Hearts and The Day of the Locust. So did they not sell during his lifetime?
No, they didn't. They were failures. And the last one, Day of the Locust, Random House bought that with great enthusiasm. And they saw immediately that nobody was going to buy it. And they immediately turned their backs on it.
So when did these books become classics?
West's books became classics in the 50s, first of all, when they were collected. And then in 1997, when Library of America chose him as one of the great American writers, he is number 93 in their series.
So he's seventh from the bottom. But that's still pretty good.
The fact that he died when he was 37, he wrote four books, and two of them became memorable classics, is a pretty good average.
Day of the Locust is about the craziness of Southern California during the Depression. How long did he live in the area?
5 years or more, and he went out there in the Great Exodus when after talkies had come in, and Eastern writers were going out to make a bundle and then leave. He went out and he stayed. He loved Hollywood.
Did he work on any important films?
No, he was involved in about 25, 30 films at various studios, mostly sea level, but he was climbing up when he died. He was on his way up.
And when did he change his name from Nathan Weinstein to Nathaniel West? And why did he come up with the odd spelling of Nathaniel?
He wanted to be an all-American boy, actually, who wrote the great American novel. He changed his name because he was Jewish.
He was from New York. New York has always been friendly to Jews.
At that time, there were no great American novelists who were Jewish. The other reason is that was not unusual in his family. Other members of his family had changed their name to West as well, including his mother. Mm-hmm. So it was like a second family name.
Although there were a number of New York Jewish writers who went to Hollywood, Daniel Fuchs.
Not novelists. This was the age of Hemingway and Fitzgerald and Despossos. There were no Jewish, great American Jewish novelists then.
On your website, there's a list of not-so-great moments in Nathaniel West's life. He flunked out of high school. He failed at Tufts. He committed identity theft to enroll at Brown University.
Yeah, he stole another student's records. The student happened to have the same name as he did.
Spelled it was Nathaniel, E-A-L?
Spelled Nathan Weinstein. Uh-huh. He was still Nathan Weinstein then. Yeah, no, he didn't care what he did. Really, he was a bad boy.
And then what did he do after he left school?
Nothing. Now, his family he came from a fairly well-off family, upper middle class. They built apartment buildings in New York City. So first, West did nothing. Then he worked for his father. Then he spent This was his profession. He is the only hotel manager to have his work collected by Library of America. He spent 6 years managing two very large hotels in Manhattan. He was a very good businessman.
But did he have literary ambitions from the start?
Yes, always did. That's why messed around at first. He didn't want to do it. All he wanted to do was be a writer.
And he went to Paris at a time when a lot of Americans were going to Paris.
Right, but nobody paid attention to him. I mean, he got there and he tried to meet famous writers. Nobody wanted to meet him.
And when he returned to New York, he was dogged by bad luck, you say. What kinds of things happened to him? Miss Lonely Hearts was published during that time.
Miss Lonely Hearts was published in 1933. So he went to Paris in 1925 or 26. Mm-hmm. There was a long period there where he tried to find a profession. He tried to make candy, whatever. His heart wasn't in it.
He knew people who he could base things on. Miss Lonely Hearts was based on the experiences of a friend, wasn't it?
A journalist by the name of Quentin Reynolds.
Pretty famous.
Well, it wasn't based on his experiences, but it was based on the fact that he worked for a Brooklyn newspaper and that he was stuck on the Lonely Hearts beat, which was rotated throughout the newsroom to male and female, whoever was around.
Wes also developed a number of cases of gonorrhea.
Yes.
And when Miss Lonely Hearts was published, his publisher went bankrupt.
Yeah, that was Bonnie and Liverite. They went belly up the same week. And then he had to find another publisher. Actually, that book got tremendously good reviews. But by the time it found another publisher and came out again, the momentum had slipped.
So he went to Hollywood.
He went there for a month. Then he came back and went back to the hotel business. But in 1935, he went out there for good.
Where did he meet Eileen McKenney?
He met her in Hollywood at the home of a communist screenwriter.
Well, she, as you say, was more famous than he.
Yes, as the heroine of a best-selling book.
She and her sister moved to Greenwich Village in 1935, and her sister, they moved to a rather squalid apartment at 14 Gay Street that's become the stuff of legend.
Yes, it is. It's a New York landmark.
But it was really bad.
Oh, it was a horrible little hovel in the basement, but it was made into an exciting place. It was those stories, which were published in The New Yorker.
By Ruth, her sister.
By Ruth McKenney. Really were like a modern, comparable to Sex and the City. Young women coming from the hinterlands or Ohio and coming to New York to make a success.
My guest is Marion Mead. Her latest book, Lonely Hearts, The Screwball World of Nathaniel West and Eileen McKenney, which is published by Houghton Mifflin. Ruth McKenney wrote these stories. They got published in The New Yorker, but they were really fictionalized. Why did she even bother using her sister's real name?
They were nonfiction. They were actually not short stories. They were what The New Yorker magazine now calls casuals. There were little essays that were humorous, and they were exaggerated for an effect. The magazine still runs those kinds of stories.
In the talk of the town, mm-hmm, or the equivalent.
Or wherever,
But Eileen went through a rough marriage, divorce.
And had a child, and she was a single mother. She had a lot of bad things happen to her, but West was a depressed person in a lot of ways, but she wasn't.
Well, but none of that stuff made it into My Sister Eileen.
Oh, it was cleaned up, and it was for it. They really Ruth turned them into role models for young women in Iowa who wanted to leave home and come to the big city and make it.
Mm-hmm. Almost like Helen Gurley Brown before.
Right.
Helen Gurley Brown wrote Sex and the Single
right.
Girl.
Right, and those stories, especially when they were collected into a book, it was an instant bestseller.
And then it was made into one of the longest-running musicals on Broadway.
Well, it was longest-running plays. First a play, two movies, and then the Leonard Bernstein musical, Wonderful Town, in the 50s.
So I would assume that Ruth McKenney became rich as a result.
I don't know. Certainly, let's say it must have supported her throughout her life. She had a very sad life.
And the connection the sisters had with the New Yorker didn't end there. Eileen also had a long relationship with one of the editors.
That's right, with the top editor, St. Clair McKelway.
So how did she wind up in Hollywood meeting Nathaniel West?
Well, she broke up with St. Clair McKelway, and she'd had enough of New York. And I think she decided just to try the other coast.
Was it love at first sight?
That's hard to know. I think they were the basic attraction between them was friendship. They were on the same wavelength. They were very good friends. I don't, more than that, there's no way that I can really know.
Well, they did get married.
They did. Yes, they did. But, you know, there's no documentary evidence of it. Yes, they fell in love, but they really liked each other. That was the main, that was the thing.
They threw a dinner party that, by coincidence, took place on Friday the 13th, and now it seems significant.
Well, at that dinner party was Scott Fitzgerald and Sheila and Parker and her husband. What happened was that Fitzgerald died about 2 weeks later. Actually, he died the day before McKinney and West were in a car crash, and they died.
So F. Scott Fitzgerald died the day before West and McKinney.
Right. They both died the same weekend, but actually West had no knowledge of Fitzgerald's death. He didn't know that.
How long had the marriage lasted?
8 months.
So it was a really very brief.
Yes, it was.
They had gone to Mexico. What happened?
They went. He liked. He was a big hunter. He hunted birds, and they went away for a weekend before Christmas as kind of a. He said, "This will be my Christmas present. Give me a chance to unwind." So they went for the weekend. They are coming back, and he failed to stop at a four-way stop. But he was a terrible driver, and she normally did the driving.
But he was driving that day.
That day, that afternoon, he was driving. It was a Sunday afternoon.
The play based on My Sister Eileen opened 4 days after Eileen died.
That's right.
Was there talk about delaying the opening?
There was talk. George Kaufman was the director, and he decided it wouldn't help anybody to postpone the play. And most people, the audiences, did not know that Eileen had died. It wasn't hidden, but most people who went had no idea. It was a huge hit. From the beginning.
What about The Day of the Locust, which remains one of the most important books about Southern California? I resist saying Hollywood, although Hollywood plays a role. How was it received when it was published?
Badly. And it was published about 2 weeks after one of the major books of the century, Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, which was such a huge hit. It was... Everyone had a copy of that, and a West book kind of got shuffled off. Certainly couldn't compete.
Although the West book was less realistic on purpose.
It wasn't realistic in that sense at all.
Were people insulted? Did he become persona non grata in some circles?
I don't think so.
Because it's quite critical.
It's very critical. It didn't seem to keep him from getting more screenwriting jobs. In fact, after it was published, he got more than ever. But it was a devastating picture of Southern California, of Hollywood, but most of all of the movie business and how it works.
But it also has entered into the public consciousness. Homer Simpson quoted from The Day of the Locust on one of the shows.
That was a coincidence, West had his Homer Simpson and we have ours, but one thing has nothing to do with the other.
Well, Billy Collins wrote a poem invoking Nathaniel West, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I can't remember the name of it.
Now, why do you think certain figures like Dorothy Parker remain in the public consciousness despite enduring quality of their work? I mean, Nathaniel West is a greater writer than Dorothy Parker, even though Dorothy Parker wrote some very memorable stories. Mm-hmm. But he becomes somewhat obscure.
I think that they were people who were like one of a kind in a way. They were originals. So you can forget an original or they bob up again at some point when people are ready to dig them again. Both of those people, I think, are very relevant to our times, and they have not. People get what they're saying today.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're their stories still move people.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm assuming you're hoping that Nathaniel West's reputation will be revived as a result.
I hope so. I think he's an admirable writer.
Well, what about the other two books? We've been talking about Miss Lonely Hearts and Day of the Locust. What about the other two?
The first one, The Dream Life of Balso Snell, was something he started in college. It's a scatological novella, something that a 16-year-old boy who's into bathroom humor probably would appreciate. Very funny, though. It's very funny. And A Cool Million he wrote between Lonely Hearts and Day of the Locust. And it is also extremely funny.
Marion Mead is the author of Bobbed Hair and Bathtub Gin, Writers Running Wild in the 20s. Dorothy Parker, What Fresh from Hell Is This? She's also written biographies of Woody Allen, Buster Keaton, Eleanor of Aquitaine, Madame Blavatsky, Victoria Woodhull. The latest book is Lonely Hearts, The Screwball World of Nathaniel West and Eileen McKenney, published by Harcourt Brace. Or what is it called? No, Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.